Chapter 5. Galatians 5, we'll begin reading in verse 16, read down to verse 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Heavenly Father, we just pray your blessings on us as we look through this portion of your word. Once again, we look at the principle of long suffering. Just pray you would teach us that we would have this quality to our lives, being compassionate and patient with those around us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we've looked at love, joy, and peace, and so today we want to look at long suffering. That this is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. We recognize when the Spirit is manifesting Himself within us, all of these things will be present. But we want to specifically look at long suffering. And it's pretty easy to define. Long suffering is to suffer for a long time. It's to bear injuries or provocations for an extended period of time. It's to be patient, to be not easily provoked. You can think of it with these different fruit of the Spirit, or with all of them, usually their true test is when we're in difficult circumstances. And we think of joy and peace as the idea of having joy, having peace, even if we're in difficult situations. Whereas the idea of love and the idea as well of long suffering has to do more with dealing with not the difficult situation, but a difficult person, and how we're going to respond properly. And we can think of it in two facets. First of all, it's learning to respond properly to difficult situations, difficult people. But it's also doing so for an extended period of time, having a patience and endurance in it. Because it's one thing we can put up with something for a while, but then if it continues, our frustrations tend to mount, and it cannot be as easy. And so that's the true test. And it's something when we have to put up with something we don't like, we question how long. And just the same as with a child, that if you're going on a trip, we say, well, how long will it be till we're there? And it won't really be that long, but to them it seems like an eternity, and it's too long. And sometimes that's what we find in dealing with difficult situations, difficult people, that we say, oh, it's too long. I want to know how long I have to do it, and that way maybe I can handle it. And sometimes we don't know how long it's going to be that we have to put up with something. But we recognize that we need to put up with it as long as it takes, as long as necessary. And so we must recognize that when we're in a difficult situation, we're dealing with a difficult person. It might be someone at work, it might be a boss, it might even be a family member. We can maybe do it to a point. We can maintain civility, maintain our composure. But so often what happens is we're pushed to the breaking point, we're pushed beyond the breaking point, and we will realize quickly that our flesh just doesn't have the strength within it to withstand that. That we can try to do it in our own strength, and it's not going to be enough. And we want to realize if we want to endure, if we want to overcome, we need the Spirit to empower us, to teach us how to be long-suffering. Because we realize that as with all these different facets of the fruit of the Spirit, all of these are characteristics of God. We see that clearly throughout the Scriptures. God is a long-suffering God. Psalm 86 and verse 15, the psalmist says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." 1 Peter 3 verse 20 speaks of the long-suffering of God in the days of Noah. We remember what he said, that the Spirit shall not always strive with man, but the days man shall be 120 years. That essentially, even though man was wicked, every imagination and the thought of his heart was only evil continually, that God gave him another 120 years where Noah preached as he built the ark, time of warning, an opportunity for them to repent, and none listened, sadly. But we see the long suffering that he would give them that time. But it was not forever. We think as well in some words of God to Abraham when he made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. He told them what was to come in the future of his family, that they were going to go to Egypt. They're going to be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, that they would be afflicted for 400 years. And this was to happen, of course, after Abram had passed on. And we see verse 16 of Genesis 15, it says, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." That it was, we see in Joshua how it's given with all these nations that are within the land of Canaan, the promised land, that they are to be wiped off the map, that they're not to be spared, that they are to completely drive them out of the land and take full possession. And in some ways we think, well, God was cruel. Why would God do that to these people? But we want to recognize from this passage that essentially these people had been wicked for hundreds of years. And God gave them, in Abraham's time, he essentially gave them another 400 years or more where they would have an opportunity to repent. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. But sadly, they did not turn back to God. Their iniquity became full, and they were destroyed as a people. And so we recognize that God is a long-suffering God. We see that many people say, well, why is the Lord not come back yet? The Lord says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is his desire. He wants to give people opportunity. And again, through history, through even people we know, we wonder, well, why is that person even still on the earth? They're such a wicked person. Why hasn't God just gotten rid of them? But we understand it's because God loves them, because God wants to give them an opportunity to repent. And it says in 2 Peter 3, verse 15, "Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." That's that thought, that because of his long-suffering, that because really, if he gave us what we deserved immediately, none would get a second chance. None would have the opportunity. But because of his long suffering, it makes such a difference. And we can testify that even in our own life, as the Lord has worked with us. We see in Romans chapter 2. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." That even in our own lives, that we recognize God's long-suffering to us, his mercy to us, his giving us opportunity, sometimes more opportunity than we should have had, to understand and accept the gospel by faith. And so we are to be thankful for it and recognize it is his goodness that leads us to repentance. And it is not something that we should ever take for granted. it would be dangerous for us to do so. But we see that, and even Paul testified of his life, the fact that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. He recognized God's grace was very exceeding abundant upon him. And it says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." That we see the longsuffering of God to Paul, that he met him on the Damascus road and questioned him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And finally, Paul turned and got saved and started serving the Lord, and soon was preaching the faith that he once destroyed. And it was because of the long-suffering of God that he was able to do that. And we see Christ, when he was upon this earth, that his life definitely manifested this characteristic of long-suffering. His patience with the disciples and all the different things they did. Even the one time when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he found the boy that was demon-possessed, and his disciples could not cast him out. And he said, "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" But yet we see that he's still merciful, that honestly he could have given up on all of the disciples with the way that they acted sometimes. And of course they all deserted him at his death, but he endured it. And we think of it as when he gave his life for us, that very literally he suffered long. He was smitten on the face, he was spit upon, hair from his beard was torn from his face, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was crucified. He was endured all of this for our sake. He was long-suffering so that we might obtain eternal salvation through him. That he was endured the shame for the joy that was set before him. And so we recognize that if God is long-suffering, if Jesus Christ, whom we are to be conformed to his image, if he was long-suffering, then certainly we as believers must learn to manifest long-suffering as well. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 2 it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." That we are to have long-suffering one to another as believers. The idea of to forbear is to bear with someone, even under many provocations, many different challenges, that we want to be patient in that way. It speaks in Colossians 1 verse 11 that we're to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That we see that not only we're to suffer long, we're to be joyful in the midst of suffering. And we recognize we need God's help to do that. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, it speaks that we're to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. That we share the truth, that it may not be received, but we're still faithful in doing it. That we're long-suffering to those that might mistreat us and other things for their sake and for the sake of the gospel. And we want to think of it in a practical aspect of how to deal with someone, how to exhibit long-suffering by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we're called upon to be long-suffering, that generally it is when we feel that people have let us down, that we have expectations of them and they did not meet our expectations. We were counting on them to do something and then they didn't measure up. And so we get disappointed, we can get frustrated with them. But we recognize two things with that. When we are let down, if someone didn't meet our expectations, it could happen for two reasons. They may fall short that they should have. They were able to, but they didn't. But other times we recognize they fall short of our expectations because our expectations for them could be unrealistic. That we should challenge others, but we recognize that even God does not tempt us above what we are able. I heard some this week on the radio. They were talking about the new coach of the Saskatchewan Roughriders and the old coach, how the players loved him a lot. And they said of him that he demanded excellence, not perfection. And that's something that I think has a lot of sense to it, that we can call on someone to do their best. We should seek that they would always seek to achieve excellence, but they're not going to be perfect. They're not going to do that. And if we set standards that high, we're going to be disappointed, and they're going to, in some ways, just throw up their hands because they realize that they can never measure up to our standards. And we can think of that specifically with our children. I know with myself that it's something that the Bible says that as fathers we're not to provoke our children to wrath. And we don't want to give our children standards to which they can never measure up and give them things to do and yet do nothing to help them to measure up to their standards. That all it will do is frustrate them and they'll think, well, there's no way that we can meet with your approval. And so we should seek kind of that sense of we seek excellence, not perfection, but yet we realize that all of us are human, all of us are sinners, all of us have frailties, all of us can fail one another and fail the Lord. And so when someone does this, we expect something of someone and it's not unreasonable what we expect of them and they fall short. We can be disappointed. We can think, well, I have a legitimate reason to be frustrated with them. But we need to recall how God treats us time and again. We think through our past, even in our everyday things that we have done, how God has been merciful, God has been patient, God has been long-suffering to us. And we need to learn to do that, to treat others the way God treats us, that we think of that as at many different places that it gives that principle. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We see it also in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 12 it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so that's what we need to recognize and what we need to put into practice, that we treat others the way that God treats us. And we will find quite quickly, if we don't treat others the way God treats us, we will find that God will start treating us the way that we treat others. We see in James chapter 2 and verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And so we want to realize that, how God is just and how he will do that different times in our life. That if we're not getting it, if we're not realizing how good God has been to us, and if we do not extend that same goodness, that same mercy and compassion and long-suffering, then the Lord will chase us in a way that we will find to be very uncomfortable, and we will see, well, we don't like it that much, and we'll realize, well, I need to stop treating others that way too. And so we need to learn to be long-suffering, to suffer long. We're not to be short-tempered. I don't think there's such a phrase as being long-tempered, but it's something that we should keep ourselves in control in that way, that we have a short fuse, not even really a long fuse, but no fuse at all, that we allow things to pass by and it's not we're not going to get upset. Remember a quote, this is actually from Chuck Norris, a fellow was known for other skills than oratory and wisdom, but he said, "Men are like steel. If they lose their temper, they lose their worth." And I think that's quite true, that when we get upset, when we get out of control, that we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And we need to be long-suffering. We need to be patient. We need to endure difficult people, people that frustrate us, people that get under our skin, because we need to exemplify Christ unto them. We need to be a witness unto them. We see in Proverbs 19 and verse 11, it reads, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." That when we recognize the way we are to act, we recognize how God treats us, that even though something might rise up within us, a feeling of frustration, that we defer it. We let it go. And many times we pass over a transgression because we realize if the Lord, as the psalmist once said, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand?" And we realize that none of us would, that He is so merciful to us that He even allows us to remain on this earth. He doesn't all consume us as in a moment. As it says in Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. And so we need to learn that, to be long-suffering, to continue to love, continue to be patient. And when people see our love, our compassion, our long-suffering, even when they know they have at times disappointed us, when they've fallen short, it will have real power in their lives. I recall at the funeral of my father-in-law, Pastor Prisk, just talking with some of the different people, and there's different people within the church. The church was a fairly large church, and so you have quite a variety of individuals. And, of course, you always have people that are kind of a little bit odd, or a little bit kind of ones that might kind of be on the fringes or cause a bit of trouble, or just be a little bit strange in some ways. But yet, talking with different people, I found that those were the ones that seemed to have the greatest love for Pastor Prisk. And I think it was because he knew that they were troublemakers. He knew that they were kind of frustrating and annoying in some ways, but yet he continued to love them. Yet he continued to minister to them. He didn't tell them to get lost. He welcomed them and tried to help them. And even if he had to help them out every week to keep them out of trouble, that he still would do that. And it made a real difference with them. And so that's what we need to learn to do, that we're long-suffering. We put up with a lot because we realize how much the Lord puts up with us, and that we would be merciful, we would be compassionate, and by this long-suffering that is manifest by the Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit, as we abide in the Spirit and His power, that we can be a true blessing and a help to those around us. All right, let's turn to number 316, and we'll close with "Oh, to Be Like Thee," hymn 316.